ויאמר השם אל משה ואהרן בן חיים לאמור החודש הזה לכם ראש חדשים ראשון ולכם ראש
אמר רבי יצחק לא יצרף מצוות התורה אלא מהחודש הזה לכם שימץ ראשון ראשון ישראל ולא ישראל.
Okay, so that's Omer Darshani, very fascinating comment of Rabbi Yitzchak. You guys have heard innumerable times from me, but I still feel a responsibility. Mariv Rabbi Lichtenstein Zatzal would always talk about this in the conjunction with the idea that the Torah is really about mitzvos. It's really about how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the mitzvah, we're the mitzuvim, we do what he says. And so what Rabbi Yitzchak is really, the point that he's making is, why wouldn't the Torah just start with the beginning of mitzvos? It's true that there's Periyah V'Rivya and Bris Milah and Gid Hanasha, but three mitzvos in, 14 and a half parshios is not very many. And you have 20 mitzvos, this explosion in Parshas Bo. So that's the Havamina. The Maskana is, maybe that's right. Right? That's a very important thing, but it was important. Koach Masa V'Gidla Mola, Seislam Nachal Asgayim. Right, Eretz Yisrael. I have a slightly different view of this Rashi, that in many respects, the Torah is about Am Yisrael, and Am Yisrael being the Am HaNivchar, and it's not so much about the Mitzvah Rishona, but the Mitzvah Rishona, Shenitztavu Ba Yisrael. It's the beginning of the Jewish story. HaChodesh Hazal Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. We're the only people who count, obviously, from Nisan, right? Everybody else counts from Tishrei, right? Chol Bayolam over in Lefanav Kivnei Maron. So you could interpret it that way. But be that as it may, Kiddush HaChodesh stands out as a signature mitzvah. L'chol HaDeos, it's a mitzvah Rishona, Shenitztavu by Yisrael, as part of our national story, about taking our destiny, into our hands. And that makes it a very critical mitzvah. Every mitzvah is critical, but I think singular in its place. And of course, singular also in its meaning. Kazeh re'e v'kadesh, the idea of controlling time. The Sforno says it's a new reality for us. Adkan hachadashim lo birshus atzmechem. Mikan v'elech hachadashim birshus atzmechem. Your lives take on completely different and new significance when you're responsible for your time, you're responsible for your decisions. And there's so much to be said about that, so it's a defining mitzvah. Of course, in, the contemporary age, when I say the contemporary age, I mean for the last number of millennia, we haven't had the opportunity to practice the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh per se, but its role, learning about it, is obviously very, very critical. And like I say, the modern iteration, whether it's Birchas HaChodesh, which is a certain kind of a representation, symbolic, of course, of that idea, but also Kiddush Levana, which we'll talk about now, those are opportunities for us to tap into some of the themes and some of the motifs. So Kiddush Levana is probably, halachically, the richest place for us to experience this. Chadesh Yameinu Kikedem, Kazeh Re'eh, V'Kadesh, we could all look forward to that, but for now we have a very wonderful opportunity on a monthly basis. So let's take a look at the Gemara. So this is Sanhedrin Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Starts with Amr Acha Bar Chanina, Amr Asiya, Amr Yochanan, Ad Kama Mivorchin Ala Chodesh, and then it continues on to Mem Beis Amud Aleph. You could go a few lines down. That's the lead in, but just about five lines from the bottom. You see, Amar Bacha Bar Chanina Amar Vasi Amar Yochanan Ad Kama Mivorchin Ala Chodesh. Okay, so Vitarvayu Rabbi Yochanan Svirulahu. Both of them really fundamentally agreed with Rabbi Yochanan. The only question was, what does Tismale Pigimasa really mean? Okay, Ha the Mehavi Ki Yisra. Right, so one of them wanted it to look like a bow and arrow, like what we call the crescent moon, and the other one wanted to look like a nafia, right? The full expansion of the moon in circular form. Now, I just wanted to, you know, clarify, not that this is an astronomy class, but I do feel, you know, obligated from the standpoint of MS and Brias Olam. Remember, the moon is not actually growing, okay? The moon is actually in a very stable scenario, but it's our perception of the moon, which, all kidding aside, is going to be a big part of this discussion, right? It's the reflection of the light of the sun off the moon. Hopefully this is not too much of a chiddush to you, that this is covered. I was down in Washington. We took the kids to the Smithsonian Museum of, you know, Air and Space, and this point was, again, reaffirmed there. It has not changed, which is always good news, you know, when it comes to the solar system. But the idea that the Levana is a reflection of the Ar HaChama is actually a very important concept. I'm not speaking metaphysically, you know, we'll leave that for other shiurim. But here, okay, that's going to be a very important idea in terms of what we understand the halachic significance of Kiddush Levana to be. So we have two different views. One view, again, is to the seventh, okay? That would be the end point, because now it's filled, nismale pigimasa, in the minimal sense of the term. It's now no longer just a sliver, but a crescent, okay? And the other view is that you have until, you know, the rubo shochodesh, right? Ad shisha asar, we'll have to see ad ve'ad bichlal, ad ve'lo ad bichlal, because, you know, at that point, the moon begins to wane again from our perspective, not in reality. Okay, very good. Wow, that's quite a havamina, right? Should also make the bracha, or maybe only make the bracha of hatov hametiv. So the response is, oh, okay, but, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So when it's waning, if you're, you know, it's waxing, we should make the bracha tova meitiv. You know, when it's waning, we should make a dayan ho'emes. Right, Gavi, this seems peculiar, right? Outside of our immediate experience, right? If somebody was standing outside with you, you know, at Kiddush Levana this Motzei Shabbos and started making a dayan ho'emes, and people would, you know, people would wonder, you know, who is this person? And what does he know? You know, can we help him? Okay, but this is what the Gemara is saying. Maybe he knows more than we do. Oh, so the Gemara is not willing to take it lying down. The Gemara says, okay, fine. We'll do both of them. We'll have two brachos. When the moon is growing, quote unquote, so we'll make a special bracha, hatov ha-meitiv, I guess because more than one person benefits. It's not a shachianu. Okay, and then when the moon starts waning again, we'll make a dayan ha-emes over the moon, as if it's, you know, this kind of, you know, anthropological, anthropomorphic theme. The moon, you know, as like a, you know, a person. It's remarkable. So the v'rechinu l'tarvayu. So the Gemara says, well, not really. Right, no, this is like the natural thing for the moon to do, lo mivarchinan. You know, you could respond, well, people also die naturally, you know. We still say a dayan ha-emes, so is this really sufficient? But it just, again, it's endlessly fascinating. Okay? It's even better. So Abayi wants to say, well, we don't even have to, like, you know, Ilmale lo zachu, it sounds like, you know, some theory that Klal Yisrael could only greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu once a month, right? That would be, you know, sufficient. Kol chodesh v'chodesh dayam, we would have nothing to complain about. And then we come along, and Abayi says, but we do. We do have that opportunity. When do we greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, you know, if you've been paying attention this year in Shira, you would say, when we do din. And that would be correct, right? That would be correct answer, din. Okay, but apparently when we do Kiddush Levana also, that was another reason I was motivated to show you this, right? There are multiple paths to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could either be done din emes lamito, maybe that's for the Litvaks, but you know, Kiddush Levana for the Hasidim, especially throw in the dancing. Okay, so we're all going to the same, we're just trying to get to the same place, and the different routes. Okay, so maybe that's really what's going on. We got to stand because, after all, it's, you know, Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. It's not just, you know, any bracha. We have to say it's standing. Okay, Marema Marzutra. Yeah, so that's where the dance comes from. They would chuckle their shoulders together, and they would, so they, that was the impetus for what some people have the minog, you know, of doing the dance. National Football League players sometimes after they score a touchdown are mechatvi adade. They like to try to do their own version of this. Obviously, they can't reach the madrega of Maremar Marzitra Lahavdil, but they should be credited for trying, you know, their own mechatvi ahadade. You know, it's okay. They should be judged in accordance with their potential. So apparently Eretz Yisrael, they're nice girsa. Right, mechadesh chadashim. Wow. Okay. So this is really a mouthful. Right? It's like, you know, one of the longest brachos that we have, but Sariel was able to read it like effortlessly because of all of his like lifetime experience of Kiddush Levana, right? You'll forgive the pun, but like, you know, we really wax poetic here, right? Po'ale emes, shepulasam emes, really giving them a lot of credit, right? Faithful employees whose work is upright. Wow. So this is also Omer Darsheni, right? Like, what is this all about? This whole bracha and the Kabbalah Spnei Shechina and Sarach Lememrinu Me'umad. Like, you know, we went from asking a simple question of, you know, until when can we do Berchas HaChodesh, to, you know, having dancing and Kabbalah Spnei Shechina and Me'umad and fancy brachos. So there's a lot to consider here, clearly. So let's take a look at Rashi from Mem Aleph Amud Beis on down, and then we'll take a look at the. There's an interesting Tosfos here, which I think is, you know, significant. So I'd come and come and bevorchin. Okay, so very good. So the natural thing to do, right, is Alhalvana behischadsha. Rashi says the default would be, right, as soon as you can see it. Behischadsha. You're greeting the new moon, right? It makes a lot of sense. Right? So Zrizin Makdim and the Mitzvos, as the great expression goes, why wait? Right? That should be our natural assumption. So it seems like the outer boundary point would either be the 7th or the 16th. There's a very big distinction, but Rashi's making it pretty clear. Im lo biri chayom, yivarech lamachar. But what would the natural thing be? As soon as you can see it, right? Right? Especially in light of the conclusion of the Gemara, Yasi, what's the Nusach HaBracha on the end in terms of the Chasimas HaBracha? Mechadesh Chadashim, it's on the renewal, right? HaChodesh HaZalachem, Rosh Chadashim, right? The idea is the renewal itself. Okay, so we say, Adcha Tismale Pigimasa, Aval Basar Hachilo Shayach Lememar, Mechadesh Chadashim, Shayarek Var, it's already old, right? The moon's on its way down. Some would say Dayan Hoemes. It's toast for this month. So you can't say Mechadesh Chadashim on like the 23rd. You know, that would be odd. Okay. So now Rashi explains. V'tarvayu ki Rabbi Yochanan.
Me loy imasa the Kamar Miochan may have a key Sarah.
Right. So that the string, the way that a string looks with a bow and arrow, what do you call, like, you know, the crescent moon, okay? Hayaser, the string, okay? We don't have an archery elective here, do we? Okay, if we did, maybe I could take you to show you afterwards exactly what this looks like. We'll have to make do. Okay. Strange that we don't offer that. Okay, a full circle. Fine. So now we have the Havamina Vilivari Chatov Ametiv. Really fascinating idea that it's good for everybody, even if you missed out on the Mechadesh Chadashim, but you should still get, right, as the light of the moon grows, this is in the pre-electrical age, you know, it's Lahayir La'olam, a little bit more moonlight, a little bit more moonlight sonata. So it's Hatov V'Hameitiv. Really interesting idea. Maybe if you can't make the Mechadesh Chadashim, it's not entirely clear. Would it be in lieu of, which is this like a replacement bracha? Make that Hatov V'Hameitiv because you missed out on the more Prati bracha of Mechadesh Chadashim. You somewhat get that impression from Rashi. So the Gemara says, well, Atu Kichaser, do we make the Dayana Emes? Michashvinon L'ra, L'gaban, L'vruche Dayana Emes? Okay, so the Gemara again said, I would accept that. Point well taken, let's make both. Dayan ho'emes. Okay. So we say you can't really relate to it that way because dehainu urche. B'chol chodesh. So just something for you guys to be aware of, because it is, you know, very clear from this Gemara that apparently one of the criterion in terms of reciting Atov Ametiv is that it's not on, like, on repeat, right? It's something that would be on repeat, you know, could be problematic because the Gemara is saying that, oh, Ki Orche, you know, this is just sort of scheduled into the basic program, so maybe it doesn't really warrant Atov Ametiv. It's a very complicated sukya. I'm not going to say which one because it was a private conversation and I don't want people to get the wrong idea, but let me just say he's a massive Talmud Chacham. So I was asking somebody to, you know, give Shira on Hatov Ametiv recently for a program that I'm involved in. I said, this is an important topic. And he says, it's too complicated. He doesn't think he could do it. So it's very, it's a very, very complex question as to when this bracha is really, you know, fully appropriate. But one of the boundary points is definitely Dehainu Orche, there's something that is, you know, outside of the Orach, which is important. Okay, so Amar Abaya. A very important line. Kavod HaShchina, which is part of Kiddush Levana. Okay. So now this is Nesach. You know, Shelo Yishanu is Tafkidam. They don't abandon their Tafkidim. So they're good with what I told them to do, to stay within their orbits. Okay, they're not like, you know, the moon isn't, jumping out of its orbit around the earth. Which, okay, there are gravitational forces corresponding to mass, which are involved in that. But, like, you didn't see the moon recently, like, you know, going for a saunter down to Saturn, checking out Neptune. It would take a very long time to come back. Trillions of years, so it's a good thing that it hasn't done that. Okay. Sasim usmeichim. You can always rely on them. Avheim shemonim lahem, even those who count in accordance with them. So this is now like a critical point in our appreciation of the sugya, that right, what Rashi is getting at is that the moon is not so much the focus, But the moon, remember we said it before, is a reflection of something else, you know, in terms of our appreciation of it. Namely, what concept is Rashi touching on here? A very deeply held conviction within Chazal. Yisrael nimshala la levana, right? There's part of Klal Yisrael's, remember the mitzvah rishona shenitztavu bo Yisrael? Part of Klal Yisrael is reflected in the waxing and the waning of the moon, our periods of triumph, our periods of challenge and trial. So, right, the point is, in the bracha, right, ateres tiferes lamusevaten siman hulahem, sha'avhem shemonin lahem, asidim lischadish begalusan kemosa ulefa'er yotzram. Yeah, I think that's true. But the point that Rashi was getting to was that since we have a particular relationship with the moon over and above everybody else, right, kol ha'umo simon in l'chama, and we are the monei ha'levana, so that, you know, it speaks to us distinctively. So we have, like, different, this is, on the one hand, Kabbalah's pnei shechina. On the other hand, we have this other motif, which is really important, the idea of nimshala yisrael levana. Okay, so, sorry, let's put Tosos onto the ledger over here. So Perish HaKuntra She'en Mishan and Sidran, right, they don't change their path. Right, this is based on the famous Medrash, right? Eshnei HaMa'oros HaGedolim, and then as HaMa'or HaGadol, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mamai the Levana, right? Apparently there was a whole conversation about that, right? Where the Levana complained and said, you know, we can't be, you know, having this kind of a controversy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I guess you're right, so you'll have to shrink. But don't worry, you know, you're coming back. Okay, so we can't, it's Sanhedrin, right, Emmanuel? We can't escape Din. Totally. So Tosfos brings up the issue of the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, excellent. So that's as far as the Gemara is concerned. And I would just, you know, go back and say, we have one issue, which is a halachic issue. What's the definition of Ad Shenismala Pigimasa? I would say 1A, right next to that, is a default assumption that it really is Levana B'chidusha that we should try to make the brachan. The reason Makdim LeMitzvos is a general principle, but as a din prati, you would think that it makes a lot of sense to do this right away, specifically because of the bracha Mechadish Chadashim. So we have to have it out the 7th versus the 16th, etc. That's a very important discussion. And then we have point number 2 is that it's a Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina, and Hilkach Tzarech L'Miminu Me'uma. There's a Nafkamina there too. And third, what about the Yisrael connection, which we're going to come back to, maybe a little bit of more Divrei Machshava, in terms of Mitzvah Rishona Shenitztavu by Yisrael. Okay, so let's, obviously, first things first, let's deal with the halachic pieces to the puzzle here. So let's take a look at the Rambam. Okay, Sariel, very well done. Avi Cohn. A little bit of a different gear set, right? Pula sam tzedek. Okay, very good. So just, you know, based on the text of the Rambam that we have so far, when would you say, before we get any further, the Rambam would say that you make the bracha? Well, what does Rambam say? Start with the words again at the beginning. Right, meaning?
So like earlier on?
As soon as you can, right? Like whenever you see it, the earliest point at which you could see it. Okay? V'tzarech levarech bracha zo.
Shein fell. Ori Lavi, Jeb Fields, Shmuley Davis, and Yonah Mandel, please come to Dr. Atlas's office. Jaden LaFell, Ori Lavi, Jeb Fields, Shmuley Davis, Yonah Mandel, Dr. Atlas's office.
Ilu Hikvil Neshvina, Imlo Berchala Belil Harishon, Berchala Ad Shisha Asar Yom Afodesh Ad Shetmale Dimasa.
So the Rambam says that he spells it out, right? The Rambam says that my shita is leil rishon, right? And if you don't do it, b'di'evit, if you somehow fail to do it on that night, you know, unfortunately, like if you live in a part of the world like we do, where it's overcast so often, right? So we're not going to be able to do that. So b'di'evit, you have until yom shisha asar, we paskin, right? Like the nehardai who say that nismala pigimasa is kenafya. Now, it seems to me, and I put this in the footnote also, that the Rambam holds that the difference between the Lechatchila and the B'di'eved is that only with the Lechatchila do you get which Kiyum? When the Rambam says, Shekolam Bevarech HaLachodesh Bizmano, that is... Right. So I'm not willing to tell people to do it sitting if it's not on the first night, but I wouldn't put it past the Rambam. Because the whole idea is it's only when it's Kabbalah Sepnei Shechina, Tzarech Limimrinu Mu'umad. So there's a really good reason not to wait past the first night. The Ram says, "Kol mevarech al chodesh bismano," right? Ki ilu hikbil pnei shchina v'im lo biri chalav lo rishon mevarech al atchisha asar yom bechodesh at tamale pikimasa. Right? You still have the right to say the bracha, right? I'm not sure the Rambam considers that to be kabbalas pnei shchina. So it seems like a very big sacrifice. Okay. This is a sugya where there's a little bit of bitterness on the part of Litvox because there's inexplicable delay, you know. So I'm just trying to point out, like, the price that we're paying is a pretty high price of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. Now, it says in Masach Tesofrim, just, you know. Shocking. Mivusam. Hopefully, you know, there are those in our community, right? We shouldn't really kid around about these things too much, but Kishahum Mivusam, they're very machmir about this. They start already on Friday nights. But, anyway, Motzai Shabbos, Kishahum Mivusam, maybe it's the Bisamim that we're talking about. Maybe it's the nice clothes that we're talking about. But, you know, they're in an elevated state. Uvechelim Noyim. Okay. Wow. How about that? Sounds like Musaf, you know? So Mekadesh Yisrael. Where does that girsa come from? Any thoughts just based on the Gemara? Mekadesh Yisrael. You look at the Chodesh, you're staring at the moon. Nobody can say it better than Eitan Barinholtz just did, right? Yisrael Nimshal Alavana. You look at the moon, but you see the Jews, right? It's the reflection, not just of the sunlight, but it's the reflection of the Jew light that you're looking at. Okay? You go home, happy, jolly. Okay? And it's interesting, it's not three different friends. The Rav used to be makbid on this. It gets nifsak la'alach and the Ramah. It's the same person, shalom aleichem, three times. Again, if you want to try that, you might get some strange looks, but if you're not afraid, you know. There's one time this came up, Halach L'maisa. It was just, you know, it's like one of these times when we were delayed because of the weather wasn't cooperating. So it's just like two of us outside, and somebody said to me, "What do we do about the Shalom Aleichem?" I say, "We do it the right way. Three times you, three times me." Okay, so that's actually the psak, right? So, the girsa is fascinating. I think Eitan has explained that well. But this Motzai Shabbos thing is obviously bizarre from the Rambam standpoint. It's whenever you could do it, right? The Leil Rishon is obviously the best, the first time that it appears. Just like Kazer Eve Kadesh. So the Agos Maimunios quotes this Masach Tesofrim. Morenu v'Rabenu Sheyichya, of course, a reference to the Maram Rutenberg. Okay. 40 lashes. Okay, so the Maharam Rutenberg, right? So the Maharam Rutenberg was knowing to do it on Motzai Shabbos, right? Kshu makdim levarech b'chol. Vav b'chodesh, right? That's the outer boundary. And if he couldn't do it on a Motzai Shabbos, because, you know, in Rutenberg, in Bavaria in general, they had to contend with bad weather, just like we do here in the northeastern United States. So sometimes they wouldn't be able to do it on Motzai Shabbos, so he would be forced to do it b'chol. But what would he put on? To make sure that he was, you know, giving the proper kavod to the occasion? His blazer. His sarval mechubad. Right? So you would put on his blazer. Special jacket. So that he would at least, you know, he would be appropriate for the occasion. Okay. So this, you know, obviously has some traction. It's not just, a masachta sofrim that didn't get any resonance in the halacha, but it was picked up by the Maharam Rutenberg. So you have the Rambam on the one hand, who's, I think, suggesting that the din of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina really is limited to the Leil Rishon. And obviously the Maharam Rutenberg didn't hold that way, because the whole concept of the Sarvel Miuchad is, you know, for Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. So he would hold that that applies across the board. Okay. The Meiri adds some, you know, further color to this session. Kol mevorech al chodesh bismano. Okay, so he tries to put things in rationalistic terms. Is why would you say it's Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina? In what sense is it Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina? Right, so, you know, for the non-mikubalim, you're going to need some kind of rationalist approach to what's so great about, you know, Kiddush Levana. And his answer is it's a good chance to reflect on, you know, Koach Maisa Bracious. Right, the idea that, you know, the world is created, and when we say Bar Chinavshi, Marabu Masecha Hashem, right, it's always like a new creation. That's really the theme of that Mizmor Tehillim. And so we have it here. So it's Derech Hisponidus L'Chidash Habriya. It's not really that the moon is changing, right? The moon is the same, but our perception of it is changing. So every month, just like every year, you know, Hayom Haras Olam, we reflect on the creation of the world. So in a smaller way every month, right? And that's, you know, a very powerful idea. I just want to say a little Heara about that. That I'm going beyond what the Miri himself says, but if you really believe that, that's another reason perhaps to do it on Motzai Shabbos, right? Because it's a great way of capping off Shabbos. Shabbos is all about Eidos from Maisa Bracious, so I think you'd be miyashiv the minhag in that direction. Okay. Mitochach tzarech shivarech me'uvad, v'yizkiru b'chadam mixas chachamim shahayu koftzin. They would do a little bit of a jump. Okay. A little bit of the Levana leap, which was obviously copied by some people in Wisconsin and later Doros. Okay. Levana leap. B'varechin v'kein nagu rabbi ma'achshav. Okay, very happy. Right, it's very similar to Lashon of the Masachah Sofrim Kshehu Mevusam, right? So, like, we're pretty far removed from the Rambam, right? You want to be makud for the Rambam, it'd be Leil Rishon. So what do we have here is that you can't do it before the first Motzai Shabbos. So, again, according to the Masachah Sofrim, which is picked up by the Maharam, is that you're in a goodly state, right? Kshehu Mevusam, and you're in your Chelem Naim, and that's why if he was forced to do it, be Mosachol, he would get out his sharp blazer, his Sarval Miyuchad. Okay, everybody should have a sharp blazer. Okay? But now we're upping the ante and saying there's something about, right, Motzai Shabbos and the Besamim. Normally we think about the Besamim as a compensatory element, right, Shimon? It's like, you know, the loss of your Neshama Yesera, so you've got to compensate with the Besamim. So you wouldn't look at yourself as like in a particularly, you know, strong position. You would think that you're in a kind of a weak position, okay? V'eini yodei atam b'davar. So the Miri says, I don't know what to make of that. Mikol malkom yesh mishim beforeish. So what does it refer to? We equal a peryon shall chasan im asay kim in yaser. Ki yaser. So Avi, what's the perspective here that they're saying? Oh no, mevusam is a reference to the shape of the actual moon that we should wait till Motzai Shabbos. This is now an inversion of the Gemara. The Gemara said, what's the latest point that you could do with it? And one day in the Gemara. Apparently not the day that we accept was, right, Ad Shiva, right, because that's when it's like the Yaser, that's when it's the crescent. And now there's an inversion here based on a text in the Yerushalmi that might be the first time that you can make the bracha on it. This is like really far from the Rambam, right? But what's difficult about that is that why would that dafka be on Motzai Shabbos? Obviously that would depend month to month. This month, it happens to work out pretty well because, you know, we had Rosh Chodesh on Monday with the Molad on Sunday night. So it's almost exactly like 7 days, right, on Motzai Shabbos here. But most months, it's not going to work out that way, right? Like, what does this have to do with Motzai Shabbos? It's very difficult to understand. So the Miri says, let's be docha that. Vein halach kein. The 16th, Kamosha Biarni, Kol Makom. Shinuya Behedya. Again, I mean, that's Behedya, but there's at least a little overlap there because there clearly is an advocacy for Motzai Shabbos, for whatever reason, in the Masach the Sofer. Okay. Okay, so we just, you know, went from, you know, just the natural creation and the sort of the resumption of natural creation to, you know, something beyond that. His bonus al plaus Hashem, God's wonders, v'yicholto b'chiddush, and God's capacity to renew, v'yishtanos hativim, right, ulahanish l'mamrim, and if he can change nature, so he can certainly punish those who are in rebellion, v'ligmol l'tovim, and reward those who do good in this world. So basically, I just wanted to, you know, make one final comment here about the Meiri. The Meiri likes very much the idea of Kiddush Levana as an opportunity to reflect on Malchus Shamayim. And Malchus Shamayim obviously expresses itself in the cosmos, in nature. But Malchus Shamayim also reflects itself in terms of Gemul, Scharva Onesh, Kaddish Baruch Hu's interactions with all of us. Avi, go ahead. It's very clever, right? Even though it doesn't seem like the Sofrim or the Yerushalmi are saying that, but like, you know, you think of good reasons for it, you know. Okay. So let's take a look at the Beis Yosef. If you want to come down a little bit more in the halacha, then we'll have a chance to, you know, understand a little bit better. Okay. Okay, Avi Kohn, maybe we'll take one more source, and then we'll go over to Emmanuel for the Shulchan Aruch. So, Amar B'Yochanan, Emasai Mivorachan al Chodesh. So he wants to draw an interesting distinction, right? He wants to say that there are gradations. So I think it's Meduyuk in the Rambam that it's really night one and everything else, and the din of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina might be limited to night one. But the Kolbo wanted to say, maybe we can actually accept all deos in the Gemara and say, l'chatchila, chatchila, ad shiva. Right? That's really b'chidusha. And then you have a second stage from 7 to the point where the moon begins to wane. Okay, a very interesting idea. Right, so there it doesn't have to do with the Motzai Shabbos, it's this enigmatic expression of Tis Basim. Right, it's very strange, right? So the Meiri was docha that, etc. So Venir Lamori. The Visume Kala, where the voice is pleasing and pleasant and beautiful. So, right? Einzim is. So what? So Mavusa means. Now it's a comment on the moon, right? V'nir l'mori shavirusha misha timtak milashon livsume kala kilomar misha So we're seeing, like, you know, they've had this every way since Tuesday, right? Like, literally every possible interpretation of mevusam. So Avi, what's being said? Yeah, apparently that's not the right kind of light. And that kind of light is not, you know, mitikas haor, whatever they call it. So again, like, you know, for the Rambamites, you know, we're thinking what could be better. And this is also the simple reading of Rashi in the Gemara, right? You know, chiddush halavana, okay? Katnuso. Okay, all right, so we don't like the first night because it's kind of, you know, again, he's focusing on this term, you know, besamim from bisume kala. So the first night is, you know, nobody benefits from that light of the moon. Okay, all right. The Avopi. That's the girsa that we have in Sofrim. Okay, so again, halacha is halacha, and this is the way that evolved, and this is the minhag Ashkenaz. It's very difficult, but he wants to say that the Rabbeinu Yonah really held this way, independent of the text of Masechta Sofrim, and therefore he thinks that we should wait at least 3 days. For those who want to wait to 7 days, right? That's really when you have the, you know, the best opportunity. But again, I think we can all agree, I don't want to put my thumb on the scale too much, but the simple reading of the Gemara indicates, right, Levana bechidusha, kazeh re'eh v'kadesh, just like when Bezdin would perform the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, and nobody was complaining, oh, it's not masok enough, why don't we wait another few days, right? The whole idea is the Chiddush itself, like the Meiri says, right? The Chiddush of Brias HaOlam, so you lose all of this, right, when you start deferring it, because the whole idea is, at least from our perception, if not in, you know, reality, to see the moon, right, completely anew. Okay, so this is, this is the way that the halacha comes down. So, you know, guys, whenever you're in shul for Ma'ariv on Motzei Shabbos, I'm sure you know, has it been 72 hours since the Molad, 72 hours since the Molad? That's where it comes from. But just want everybody to appreciate how massive a chiddush it is. It's against the simple reading of the Bavli. The greatest, you know, Rishonim, Rashi, and the Rambam all took it that way. We have really very at best, speculations about what this Masach HaSofrim is saying, and okay, maybe we don't need to totally rely on the Masach HaSofrim, but it's a very strange thing, and sometimes you really can't predict why the halacha, you know, will come out a certain way, but this is, like, observed, you know. People in the in our shul know, like, especially when it's, like, within the first 3 days, and, like, we can't do it on Motzai Shabbos out of respect for, you know, practice of Klal Yisrael, how antsy I get, because, you know, the next day it's going to be rainy, and, you know, then nobody's going to remember, and it's it feels like a real sacrifice, right? Okay, so, and again, Lashita Sarambam, I don't think it's just a sacrifice in terms of Zrizin Makdim and the Mitzvos. I think it's a sacrifice in terms of the Kiyum of Kabbalah's, you know, Pnei Shechina, which I think you can explain pretty easily using the Svara of the Me'iri, right? What was the Svara of the Me'iri? The Me'iri came along and said, excuse me, the Me'iri came along and said, why is this, you know, important? You know, and again, Avi had a very beautiful idea to make it about 7 days and Brias, but you're reflecting on Brias HaOlam because it's Levana B'chidusha. Okay, Avi.
Maybe not like to wait till 3 days, but I could see like a benefit of waiting a little bit because you kind of, you don't just want, if you're just waiting like on the actual day, you're not really going to be seeing much, but to actually see the moon grow from basically nothing and to act something like act, they can actually give light, I do see like a little bit of, I do see value in that.
Right, okay, so can I just put that in somewhat different terms and see if you're, you know, you'll sign on to this because maybe this is what you're getting at. If I had to be sort of melamed zchus from a conceptual standpoint about this idea of mesiko saor, is that I would take it away from the levana itself and really say that there's a question as to what the nature of the bracha is. Is it about Kadosh Baruch Hu, in which case, you know, when we see the new light of the moon as it appears to us, so it's a reflection of Maisa Bracious and all of that. You know, when we have this beautiful bracha, and remember, according to Tosfos, the Poel Emes is a Kadosh Baruch Hu here. But if you have a more, like, a, you know, anthrocentric sense of it, that it has to do with our ability to benefit, which is not at all impossible in the Gemara. Remember, Hatov Emetiv. So then, is that a fair way of getting to what you're saying in terms of the conceptual chiluk? Whether it's about our benefit or it's about our appreciation of Brias HaOlam? I think that's really the question. So I think it's really interesting that it became a little bit more anthrocentric, and I want to talk about that a little bit more. And to make a suggestion, you can probably see where I'm going with this. But once you accept that there's an anthrocentric quality to Kiddush Levana, and moving past night one, which again, I'm not saying that I would have done, you know, if it were, if I had my druthers, you know, I like this idea of it being a reflection of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but I think that you can benefit in another way. So we've already taken half of that step, but maybe now we'll take, you know, the next few steps and be able to you know, sort of hammer the idea home. So Avi, we're going to come back to your idea, which I like very much as at least a limud zchus on the practice. Okay, so Emmanuel from the Upper West Side, number 9, Shulchan Aruch. Yud Vav Miyom HaMolad V'lo Yud Vav Bichlal. So now we've learned it's Ad V'lo Ad Bichlal, meaning not the 16th but the 15th, okay? From the 15th from the Molad, doesn't necessarily mean the 15th of the month, but, you know, that'll depend exactly on when the Molad was. Okay, then the Ashkenazim say the Kaddish Alad Chatzi, right? We know that the, you know, month is actually 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 Chalakim from the Molad. So you have to divide that in half, and that's what the amount of time you have. Okay, so it's not even, you know, 15 days from the Molad. We have the same Machlokas between Ashkenazim and the Sephardim about Pidyon HaBen, right? So it's literally Shitasam. Basically, okay, to be a little bit into math for this. Okay, Ein Mevarchin Aleha, this is back the Svardim. Right, so that's again very, we talked to Rabbi Jachter about this and he'll say, oh no. He said the winter months, they go ahead and they don't wait 7 days that we're really supposed to, but Sharei Ora. But it's very hard to justify, okay? So then the Ashkenazim, Hagav, Ein Mekadshin, Okay, so again, we want to be out in nature, out in space. Appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so Ad Sheyavru Shiva, so the Chavetz Chaim, you know, comes to the rescue. Right, al kol panim, shlosha yamim me'es leis me'samola chenenin kvar me'ora. Thank you, Avi. Yesh levarech aleha. Right, let's not be overdoing it. The whole idea of three is a big chiddush. Anything past the first night is really a big chiddush. So waiting 7 days, you know, seems very, very, very hard to justify. Ve'en lahach mitzah mitzvah. Motzai Shabbos Haba. Okay, so there is some yichus of Motzai Shabbos. Not everybody loves that idea. Kedai. The Hashvos HaMitzvah B'chol Gavni. Bivadai. So the Gra said, Motzai Shabbos, Motzai Shabbos. You know, it's reason makdim in the mitzvos. The only thing that I think the Gra would object to about the Chafetz Chaim's presentation here is what word do you think he would not like? He says, V'chama achronim v'agra michlalam mekilin. He would say, I'm not being the mekel, you're being the mekel. I'm being the machmir. You're waiting until Motzai Shabbos to get your sarval, mechubad, get your blazer, so that you could look sharp. You guys in the 21st century, your mother's never told you you look sharp? That's a mother thing to say. Okay? No? What's that? Your grandmother, right? Okay, so that's the, we're seeing the generational issue. Okay. Gavi, your mother never said you look sharp? Okay. Okay, grandmother? Emmanuel also?
It was said in French.
It was said in French, that's why. Okay. Avi, nothing? You look sharp? Nobody? Where are you guys being raised? Okay, so the Gra, Rabbi Mandelstam, Rafi likes this a lot. Right? He likes this Gra. But I would be more, like I said, I would be more Gra than the Gra. I would say, yeah, waiting until Motzai Shabbos, and can't wait to bring it the third day. But that, again, that comes back to the question of what the themes are. So again, if it's about the Levana and Brias HaOlam and Maisa Bereishis, you know, I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, do it right away. The more that you think it's about, you know, this anthropocentric dimension, I think that there's an argument to be made, you know, so we can benefit from it. And like I said, I think you can appreciate that in the Gemara itself in terms of Atov V'Hametiv. Fair enough. Okay, now I just want to take one more step before getting to the Ramah and putting things within that context. So Avi, according to your approach, right, which you said, I think we agreed on it, that the idea of waiting 3 days, the fact that we could benefit from the light of the moon reflects a certain anthropocentrism. So I was going to take this back now to Eitan, your comment of Nimshala Yisrael Levana. Right? Maybe what we're really looking to say is not only about greeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's about seeing what's best in us, right? The idea that we have resilience as the moon does when we do Kiddush Levana, we're also reflecting on the idea, right, of, you know, the resilience of Klal Yisrael, that we go through our challenges and then, so you would want to wait till, you know, you see some critical mass of light. So I think if that's true, right, then that we could, you know, maybe further justify this perspective as well. And maybe even be melamed zchus on those who are waiting to the seventh, because, that's a whole bunch of light. Okay. But be that as it may, the Ramah, right, does, you know, this is, I think, a very beautiful idea, add in, you know, to that, I think, in a very meaningful way. So let's take a look at the 11th source, this would be Emmanuel, and get two dinim in that I think really belong very much in the same halacha. So that's based on the Ma'aril. Okay. That's a big debate. Okay, but basically, right, you can't do it before Tisha B'Av because you're not in a proper frame of mind and not before Yom Kippur. Now, after Yom Kippur, after that sense of Eima has passed, right, then you have the Simcha, the Kapara. You know, Tisha B'Av also has to pass, so there can be Motzai Tisha B'Av, you wait till the next day. So that's a discussion. And the Ramah is not such a big fan of Motzai Tisha B'Av, others Dafka were, right, Arminag is too, right, whether for messianic reasons, the Arizal said that, you know, Tisha B'Av, right, was born on Tisha B'Av, or his reason Makdim in the Mitzvot, or whatever it is. But the idea is that Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina has to be done mitoch simcha. As we know, in a Shechina Shorah, lo mitoch atzvos, velo mitoch atzlos, ela mitoch simcha shal mitzvah. And I think then we could put that together with the next halacha of Yom El Chaveru Shalosh Pamim Shalom Alecha. How so? Making shalom dafka with your friend. What aspect does that relate to? I would like to suggest Betam HaMinhag. Again, it's obviously not Ma'akev, but since it's Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina, right, and the appreciation of Malchus Shamayim, you've heard from me so many times, I like to stress these themes on Rosh Hashanah, right? That's why we all try to do the same Minhag of Tkiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. E Masai Hu Malkam, Bahivi Shun Melech, Bisaseh Rashiyam, Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. A Masai Hu Malkam Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. When we have a sense of cohesion, achdos and unity. V'yomer l'chaveru shalosh pa'amim shalom alecha. Okay, so the point is to create an environment of shalom for the purposes of Kabbalah's Hashchina. So I think what we've been able to be mitzayin, again, the halacha is what the halacha is, and Minag Yisrael is what the Minag Yisrael is, that there's two, like, strands, I think, within the Gemara that play themselves out a little bit differently in terms of Kiddush Levana. One of them is definitely what the Gemara says explicitly of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina, and you would think that that would really be Bechidusha, like the Rambam says, and I think the Rambam's point is amplified by Rashi, and then the question is, what's the outer boundary? The seventh of the month, is it still Bechidusha? Right? Or maybe we'd be willing to go to the 16th of Olo Ad Bichlal, which either means 15 days after the Molad, or from the Ashkenazic perspective, right, it's 29 days, 12 hours, 793 Chalakim divided by 2, okay? And that's the midway point, and then it's waning from that point on. Then there's another dimension, which is the, what let's call it the Avikon dimension for our purposes, the anthrocentric dimension, the capacity for us to benefit. What I'm trying to project is the Nimshala Yisrael Levana, that when we see, you know, the Levana, we say, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. It may look like we're on the outs, it may look like we have, like, no hope, right? But the truth of the matter is that Nimshala Yisrael Levana, you know, we're always coming back. The minute that you think you've gotten rid of us, that we're gone, that our light is extinguished, we're on the comeback trail. And that aspect, right, is reflected literally, you know, by the Mesikos Ha'or after 3 days. So I just wanted to make a concluding point, but before I make my concluding point, let me go over to Emmanuel.
In terms of the idea that we should do a multi shabbos,
right,
that fit better into the anthropocentric or the one that we should do?
Right, so, very good. So I was going to get to that. So Avi had suggested that maybe, you know, at first I had suggested that it makes a lot of sense because, you know, Shabbos is about Ma'aseh Bereishis, so maybe we could fit it into our point of view, and so maybe you delay until Motzai Shabbos. You know, Avi, I think, was making a slightly different suggestion in that regard, but what maybe to buttress it, that was the completion, you know, a full week of, you know, of creation. So I think it more naturally fits into the theme, or at least on its face, it fits into the theme of sort of reflection on Mekablin Pnei Avihem Shabbat Shemayim. However, the question was right on target in terms of the final point that I wanted to make. So up until now, we've been working with two threads. Like, how much is it about just appreciating the Bria, like the Meiri says, I think he's got an explanation of the Rambam, and how much of it is about celebrating Nimshali Yisrael Levana, the idea like that Rashi says is reflected in the Nusach HaBracha, Amusei Vaten, those who are monim to the Levana can be happy, start dancing, you know, because we know we're triumphant. That's why we're not going to do it before, you know, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, etc. We know that it represents, like, you know, the ultimate triumph of Klal Yisrael. But is it possible, apropos Emmanuel's question, to actually now tie the threads together? Because part of the way that Malchus Shemayim expresses itself in our world is the perseverance of Klal Yisrael. We don't say, oh, Nimshala Yisrael Levana, and beat ourselves on the chest and do a mechatfi ahadade and start dancing because, you know, we're so strong and we're so tough, right? Our sense of preservation of Klal Yisrael is inextricably linked to Malchus Shamayim. Right? The Gemara in Yoma famously says, Hakel Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanora, the Anshe Knesset Hagadol, of course, you know, reinstated that text. They say Hechziru Atara LiYoshna, because that's how Moshe Rabbeinu, Daniel, Yirmiyahu Hanavi, they couldn't say the full Gel Kadol Gibar Venora. So how could the Anshe Knesset Hagadola reinstate it? They say, ah, oh, Ayei Gevurosav, Ayei Norosav, and the answer was no. Elu Hein Gevurosav Venorosav Sheil Malay Norosav Heyach Uma Achas Yachol Lekayim. Bein ha'umos, right? Like, how could we survive? How would we still be here? Nimshala Yisrael Levana is also a reflection of Malchus Shamayim. Malchus Shamayim is reflected, as we know, in two ways. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Mi'beis Avadim, right? Is no less important than the idea of Brias Shamayim Va'aretz. There are two ways that we encounter God in this world. One of them is his mastery of creation. Marabu Masecha Hashem Kulam B'chach Masisa. That's definitely a part of Kiddush Levana. That might be the dominant motif, especially Shitas HaRambam. But part of it is also Asher Otzei Sicha Meretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avadim HaChodesh Hazalachem Rosh Chadashim. Ah, so maybe the two strands can actually reinforce each other. That our appreciation of Malchus Shamayim is that much greater when we reflect on Nimshala Yisrael Levana. They're not competing themes. And now I think we can return to the very beginning. HaChodesh Hazalachem Rosh Chadashim Am Rabbi Yitzchak. It would be Roy for the Torah to begin there. This is the mitzvah Rishona Shenitztavu by Yisrael. It contains a dual message. Of course, on the one hand, it reflects Bechiras Yisrael, the fact that now we're in control of our time, the strength of Klal Yisrael, the resilience of Klal Yisrael, but it's also a mitzvah. It also is a reflection of the fact that we see ourselves as mitzuvin. Right? We answer to somebody. We answer to the mitzvah. Mitzvah Rishona, Shenitztavu Ba Yisrael. The greatness of Klal Yisrael, but also a reflection of Malchus Shamayim at the same time. So like I said again, we don't have Kazer Re'e V'Kadesh, unfortunately. We like the Nusach HaBracha of Mekadesh Yisrael, the Rashi Chadashim. We're not willing to go that far. It's not, you know, Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. But the idea is a beautiful one. But be that as it may, what we have is Kiddush Levana. It's a chance for us to reflect on Bechiras Yisrael, Nimshala Yisrael Levana, as well as Malchus Shamayim. And it really is a very meaningful, you know, mitzvah, whether you're a dancer, whether you're a hopper, a singer or not, right? It really does reflect, you know, Dvarim She'omdin Berumo She'olam, very important themes. Very important themes. The themes of Malchus Shamayim, the themes of Nimshala Yisrael Levana, which ultimately are also integrated with each other. just have time for one last Heyara on this. To me, that's the single best explanation for why there could be a Havamina of saying Hatov V'Ameitiv. It seems a little bit funny on its face, right? Even according to Avi's approach. Hatov V'Ameitiv on the light of the moon? Like, how much are you getting done by the light of the moon? But if the idea is that it's not so much the light of the moon, but the growing light of the moon is reflection of Klal Yisrael, Hatov V'Ameitiv, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is good to us and for us. Ultimately, we don't paskin that way, but I think it is, you know, part of the kavana. It's part of what it is that we're thinking about it. So we have a special opportunity. You know, this Motzai Shabbos, hopefully the weather will be cooperative. Right? It's always a dramatic moment. I know in our Kehila, we have a designated person who goes outside. He gives the thumbs up or the thumbs down. You know, it's a special, you know, it's always special to be able to, you know, be mekabel pnei Avinu Shabbat Shamayim, you know. Even those of us who, you know, sometimes like to imagine an alternative reality where the Rambam, you know, reigns supreme, and then the first night we'll do it, you know, and the Vilna Gaon will cheer us on. It's chumra, it's not a kula. But we can live with this 72-hour thing. 7 days would be too much for me. You know, it wouldn't be worth eating the kitniyos on Pesach. I couldn't enjoy them. So hopefully this gives us a little bit of perspective on, you know, a beautiful opportunity, the closest thing that we get to be Tekazera Eva Kadesh.